Blog Talk Radio.
To another great show of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we normally have our show on Thursday nights from 9:30 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but this is a special radio show that we're doing. It's airing on Saturday from 8 to 9, and as soon as the show is over, it'll be available in the archives. So if you miss any part of this show or any other show, or if you want to find out more about all the different shows and different radio personalities that we have on besides Spiritual Connections, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And we're really excited to have on some really special guests this evening. As you know, Spiritual Connections Radio in the last month or so has been concentrating more on the spirituality aspects of media. We started with an announcement with Carolyn Corey and her movie, I Am Universe, which opened up in New York a couple weeks ago. We had on those special guests a few weeks ago talking about the new TV series, The Inner Dimension. And this evening we have two great guests who are going to be joining us, who are going to be talking about the movie The Game of One. And we're really excited to kind of hear about this new movie that's going to be coming out in 2014. It's going to actually be coming out really soon, so It's amazing to see all these different developments in spirituality. I mean, I think if we compare this to books and everything like that, we remember when we first started on our journeys, you could go into a Barnes & Noble or, you know, your favorite bookstore, and you could probably find one or two books on spirituality. Now you go in, and there's thousands and thousands of books. So it's just amazing to see. And, you know, as with everything in media, you know, the TV series and the movie series have kind of been trailing a little bit behind the book. So it's amazing to see that everybody's starting to put more energy into creating spiritual TVs and movies and stuff like that to bring that into that type of, you know, format and everything like that. So I want to announce that we have two great guests on with us this evening. We have Maya and Timid. And they're going to be talking about the film that's coming out. And I'm going to pull them in one at a time here. So, Maya, are you there?
I'm right here.
It is so great having you on. I know you've been really, really busy. And when we kind of do the show today, we're going to talk about all the different things you're developing in this program. I mean, you're not simply just somebody who is just doing this project, but we're going to talk about all the different aspects of the pieces of this that you created. So that's going to be really amazing to hear that. So thank you for being here on Spiritual Connections Radio.
Oh, thank you.
So we also have with us Timid.
Yes, sir.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Oh, yeah, Timid's fine. Timid or Timid's fine, either one.
It's funny. People who listen to the show, they're like, I think they tune in half the time just to see how Mark is going to slaughter people's names. That's nothing that's ever intentional, but I'm partially tone deaf, so lots of times I don't even hear the pronouncing correctly. So, and then generally during the show I get so excited I could go into four different ways of pronouncing your name, none of them you probably heard in your entire lifetime.
Yeah, both of them are fine, though. It's Tamid, really, but Tamid's fine.
Okay, Tamid. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and write that down, Tamid. All right, great. So, so let's start with who wants to talk about, the whole idea here. I mean, what exactly is this? I assume it's a movie and it's called The Game of One, but, what is this?
You want to know what is it?
Yeah, I mean, what is this? Is this The Matrix 5 or is this Star Trek?
No,
is this about?
It's, in a way, it's a little bit of everything, and it is none of it at all. It's supposed to be something very, very different than all these other movies. And I was, it's interesting the way you mentioned earlier, that nowadays you walk into Barnes & Noble or any other bookstore and there is so much, metaphysical material available everywhere to everyone. And yet there is that feeling, that we went through this period of time, since early 60s all the way till today, and we accumulated such a mountain of knowledge, that is all presented out there. And the feel today is, what are we doing with it? How are we going to take all of this and grind it and squeeze it and bring out only the pearls that we can work with and actually achieve something very important? And why am I saying important? Because of the time and age that we live in, and it's moving, we're all moving fast into the future. The future is not that far away anymore. We can see it. We created, we projected, we bring about a future. And I still believe that a lot of us, most of us, don't really know what kind of future we are bringing about. So the movie that we are putting together, it's almost the last call. Just before we kind of glitching into the future, we're having a chance to stop for a moment and look at everything that we already have here, everything that has been presented, not just from the spiritual field, but from all other aspects of life, including science and art and music and the human nature and the human psyche, and extract the most real portion of it that will allow us to make a decision about our future. And why am I saying that? It seems that we're moving so fast into things that nobody really takes the time to stop and say, wait a minute, where are we going? So the computer world is taking, it's already taken the world as it is. We are in the computer age, and the movie is going straight to that place, into the computer game. And we're taking the thought, the old conventional thought, and we're transforming the meaning of the cards into 22 portals of experiences that's going to be set up as a computer tarot game. And each and every one of those cards will be developed into a 3D environment that provides the gamer with a life experience or many life experiences as the gamer is progressing through the game. And you will teach the player how to think differently. You will bring issues in life that are mostly... Am I talking too much?
No. Keep on going. I was coughing, and I'm going to grab some water.
Okay. Well, the game itself is set up in a way that when the gamer is experiencing each portal of the thought, he will learn to bring arguments into conclusion without having to choose a side, the side that is wrong or the side that is right, the yes or the no, the male or the female, all those conflicts that we are still, dealing with in our daily lives are going to move with us into the future. And the whole idea is to clean this page before we are ready to make that move. Still there? I feel like I'm talking
to myself. Yes, I am. I'm just listening. Good. You keep on going.
Okay. So the script itself is based on this tarot game. It's a computer tarot game. And the players that enter the game, they're going through like a normal, you know, conventional gaming experience where there's always, you know, an enemy or an adversary. There are some certain items you need to find in order, you know, to achieve, you know, more power for yourself. You will have the choice whether to kill your enemy and just grab, you know, the goods and, you know, advance yourself, or you will have the option to actually resolve issues with your enemy and then accumulate wisdom and knowledge instead of power. And that's what brings this tarot game into the spiritual field. It's not about killing and grabbing anymore. But no judgment. If you want to play the game the way it is set for most games, so be it. You can do it. But the ones who will choose the other way, the ones who will choose to bring conflict into equation, resolve conflict, those are the ones who actually will gain access into the knowledge of this game. And, of course, it's going to be less and less in numbers. There aren't going to be many, you know, who will qualify to this or even choose to go that route. But not that the group, we're going to end up with a group of gamers that are passionate about the knowledge, and they want to bring the transition into the world. They want to bring the transition in time to our society.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going to meet with a huge adversarial movement against that. There will be all movement in our society. There will be for it or against it. But they will have to bring the knowledge and the wisdom that they learn through the game into those daily, you know, even political issues, you know, of our society. So it's going to go, it's going to sprout from the game into our environment. And after a while, we're going to lose, you know, the barriers between the reality and the non-reality. It's all becoming reality. But the viewer, for us who are going to watch the movie, we will be able to follow those sequences and learn how to think differently about conflict. And the meaning of one, the name of the movie, you know, the game of one, has nothing to do with God or any godly entity. It's the ability to bring two opposing ideas into one place of agreement, one reason, one purpose, one place where they both collaborate and agree upon. And that becomes the evolution of the mind. So it still sounds simple when I describe it, but it's not as simple because we all have emotions and you have a whole different approach to things. And usually the easy way out is to choose a side and try to fight the other side and beat it down. And that's the nature. And this is something we need to get over with. So it's becoming an educational experience. And that's the reason we wanted to put it in a movie and not just a computer game.
So this is kind of like there's going to actually be a computer game also that's going to get released?
At a certain point, there will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
So people
right
who want to do the gaming.
Right now, we're
focusing
on the movie. Yeah. We want to make it known in a way.
So I'm just going to give everybody a little background on you, because you're not simply just taking part in this movie. You're actually the visual artist and designer, and also have a background as a psychic clairvoyant, a metaphysical developer of the ancient symbols and Numeric-based language. You created the deck that's actually featured and talked about in, you know, the background behind the movie, but you also have a number of other books out, like Old Love Charms and Spells, the I Am One Terror, and then the perfumes and candles, and then there's also listing here as the psychopedia of the volume. So it's amazing, you know, that you have all these different aspects and everything like that. So, you know, as a psychic clairvoyant, you know, how did you come to the point that you decided after creating this deck that that you wanted to create it into a movie? Because that's not normally a jump that most people would ever think of.
It's not. And it took a long time to get to this point. When I kind of crossed paths with the tarot, which was the end of the 80s, I was not looking for cards. I mean, I'm a psychic clairvoyant. I never worked with tarot cards. I had no interest in tarot cards because I always trusted myself. I met a psychic one day. I mean, I came to see her because I was in distress and I needed a good reading, and I heard that she's fantastic. She's amazing. But she wouldn't just see anyone because she wasn't doing it professionally. She was a musician. It was something that she would do every once so often if she feels like it. And to my luck, she felt like she needed to see me and give me a reading, and she did. And she had these cards, you know, that were really weird looking. And as she opened the reading, she stood up right in front of me. She couldn't even sit down. She said, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to tell you today, but I will tell you one thing." She said, "Right now, at this moment, you're starting your destiny. Your life is starting right now." And I'm like so tired and beat by then. I mean, I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "I have no idea, but what it is you're looking at, the one thing you're staring at right now, this is your life story." And you put the cards on the table. So in any rate, we skip my reading and we start talking about this card. And she told me a very interesting story about this card. It was channeled by a group of people up in Carmel during the 60s. And they printed 300 decks. Nothing ever, you never went anywhere. They didn't really know what to do with the project. Two of them died. There's only one woman left, and she wouldn't talk to her. She herself, she found that deck in her bedroom after her father died. She never knew where he was. She studied him by putting him on her body. The card speaks for themselves. So that magical arena was already all over the place. In any rate, I was haunted by these cards. It's not like I wanted to work with them. They wanted to work with me. And after meeting this lady, I met another person who actually knew the last woman from the original group up in Carmel. And I got her number. And I called her because I didn't know where he was. And I called her, and she, like, she knew me. She was, "I'm waiting for you for 10 years. Where have you been?" So in any rate, it seems like during that time of channeling the information to this very specific deck of cards, it was mentioned in one of the sessions that there is a woman, a young woman will come in later on. She speaks different language. She understands the words in a different way, and she will take it, and she will know what to do with this project. And apparently it was me. She gave me the blessing and a book, and she died 3 weeks after. And that was the beginning of the 90s.
Wow, so she actually died?
She died, yeah. She was on a wheelchair for the last 10 years. She was on a wheelchair all alone in Carmel in that tiny little hall. She was so ready to go already. She was ready to go. She was like, "Where have you been?" I came to visit her. She gave me the book and died. And there I was, you know, with this thing, you know, that is extremely charming, but I don't really know what it is. And it chose me. And now I'm the only one standing there with a little baby in my hands, and what am I going to do? So I raised the baby. I painted. I went through all the text, everything that they channeled. And I painted, repainted the whole deck of cards. It was a beautiful, big oil painting, because I'm an artist painter, and that's what I do. And I didn't really know the meaning of the cards, because the meaning that they attached the cards, it wasn't appealing to me. I was looking for something a bit, it's hard to say. It just wasn't appealing to me. It wasn't enough. I wanted something more than that. So I spent a lot of time teaching these cards to other people, and by teaching the cards, I learned about them. The teaching learning experience with this card was just amazing. So I had a group session up in Los Angeles. We used to get together and we just study them, and the cards, they speak for themselves. And at a certain point, I developed a whole series of 22 universal laws that were attached to each card that bring up about the transition. It teaches you how to think in a more universal, cosmic way, other than just social, personal way. And this is what I was looking for. I wanted something that would take me into the universe, not just into this world. So take a short, a long story short, it's been many years since then. I published the book, I wrote the textbook, and it's still not enough. This tech is still growing. Project is growing, and it demands more attention. And this is where the idea to make the computer game and a movie about the computer game and actually put this project on the table so people will at least have a choice, you know, to take it or leave it. But I think it should be displayed among all these other options that we have for the future, and it's all lined up. We're kind of ready to go. The computer age has begun. But this is not about the computer age. This is about us. This is about us and our options to actually use our knowledge, as we've been given a lot of it, especially in the last 35 years. A lot of knowledge came down to earth. And a lot of us spiritual people, we grabbed as much as we could, and we grind it, and we worked with it, and we refined it. And now the question is, what are we going to do with it? You know, is it just about me making my life a little bit more comfortable for myself? Or is it about a world that is that can transform into its next dimension? And this is what I'm after. And I believe a lot of my friends and a lot of people are like me. They're craving, you know, the next world, the new world. I sound like a dreamer, and I am. But it takes one to know one. Here we are.
Wow. Here I was just kind of browsing up on Amazon, and I see that your deck is up there. It says, I am one, and the deck is up on Amazon. So for people out there, if you want to go check that out, it's out there on the Internet. Because I know for a lot of people, I'm probably up to about 14 decks myself with different ones. I generally only work with maybe one or two of them, but have so many of them that I've collected over the years. But this one here, I just love all the artist work that you've done on it.
It's energy. It's not much symbolism, but a lot of it's intense energy, which for me is the simplest understanding of spirit. Spiritual for me is energy, pure energy. And then as we get into deeper into the matter, is understanding the consciousness of our spirit, because spirit has a consciousness.
Okay.
And,
we're going to just switch gears for a minute, and we'll definitely come back to you, and you guys can decide who wants to talk about each topic as we move forward. But I'm going to go back to you, Tamit.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you can talk to me about the call for music.
Yeah, the call for music is the most exciting part of this, I think. The call for music is the second phase of this project. We're going to do two phases. The first phase, we're you know, engaging mostly the metaphysical, spiritual side of things. And the second phase is the call to music, where we are going to do a global search for 22 bands, 22 DJs, that each band or each DJ that we choose will have its own card, and they will be able to develop the music for each journey inside these cards. So when the gamers go inside those cards, are projected inside the cards, each band or DJ will have his own style of music in there, his own feel in there. And what we're going to do, I can't expose the full scope of the second phase, because it's a fundraising part of the film, but the music, call for music, we're definitely going to, you know, have tons and tons of submissions of artists that would like to have their music inside this film, and that's going to be really exciting.
I was just kind of looking at your website now, and I you know, being a website guy, I'll just give you a personal recommendation here. I'm on the page, and we'll just give out the website for everybody. If you want to check out the website about the film, it's globalstageproject.com. That's globalstageproject.com. And there is a link there that says call for music. My suggestion just to you right now would be to simply add something under the paragraph where you talk about the call for DJs, musicians, and bands, that you simply put how they would actually contact you and exactly what it is that you want them to submit to you.
Yeah, you know what? We have a whole page or so written up for that. We just didn't want to confuse the two phases, so we didn't add it in there yet. We just put out a little teaser for that at the moment. And then after the first phase is over, we're going to, you know, just expand that page largely. So, because what we're doing now is, you know, we're reaching out in a whole other field, right? And what we're doing is we're getting responses from music people already interested in, you know, becoming a part of it. And we haven't opened that up yet. So I don't want to get, we don't want to get too detailed with it right now because we're trying to just keep it separate. But I, the advice is great. We have a whole page ready to, you know, to insert, but we're just kind of keeping it as a teaser right now.
Well, I know before we started the show, we all had a few minutes to kind of talk amongst ourselves. And I know you kind of hinted at this a little bit, and without going into timelines, because I want to stay away from timelines for now. But you had talked in the beginning with me about phase one and phase two. And since I know basically, I always like to tell people, I can tell you what I know about films in about 3 seconds. Besides the fact that I go to the movies and I pay for them, or I go and I rent them, or I get them off the internet. So, tell me, what is phase one and what is phase two? I mean, what is that about?
Well, this, you know, this film, in most cases, when it has to do with crowdfunding, especially at this, you know, at this stage of crowdfunding, because it's just now starting to pick up where, you know, people are exposing their projects to the public. The public is getting behind certain projects and supporting them in small ways, medium ways, financially, however they can support them. And we have decided to make, you know, a studio-sized film here with this type of funding. And phase one is a development phase of the film, which is, you know, working alongside the screenwriter, which is an amazing, we have an amazing, just outrageously imaginative writer that's going to be writing the script alongside Maya. She's going to be working with him. So that first phase, we're raising the funds for development of the film, the script, the design, the marketing of the second phase. And then after we finish this first phase, this is the call out to, you know, all the spiritual people, the metaphysical people. We are putting this in the hands of the people instead of the studios. Because I've raised money on and off for films for the past 15 years, and you know they have a nice little formula in the system there where when you raise money for something, you have to, you know, bring them a certain formula, and then they'll give you money if it works out. But we're coming to the people this time and asking them to support something that's real, something that's going to be extremely imaginative, artful, knowledgeable. So we're putting it in the hands of the people of the planet to finance this film, which I'm sure that we'll get it done. So the first phase is the development phase. The second phase is a larger phase because, you know, it's going to be a large amount of money to put the film together. So that's why we're including a global search for music. So, those are the two phases, and that's how it's going to work with this film. The only you know work we're going to do with the studios is we're just going to allow them to distribute the film out.
I think it brings up a good point, and I know I talked about this a lot when I was talking to the group the other day about the TV series Interdimension, which they're kind of doing the same thing. It shows the integrity that both of you have behind this that, you know, it would have been really easy for you to go out and get all kinds of sponsors to pay for this film. But whenever you do that in the film industry, you end up having to compromise the idea.
Exactly.
And I think it's really great that you guys are willing to just basically kind of say, you know what, we've decided to go in a different way of funding with this because we do not want to compromise on what we're going to give as far as the message in this movie.
Yeah, they wouldn't even allow it, probably. I mean, as far as it wouldn't make sense to them. I mean, after you put together their formula, let's say that we do both phases, we raise the second phase, and then we put together the film. You know, you got to stick with some of the formula, right? You have to have a director that, you know, that can actually handle a scope like this. You have to have a director that they know, which we don't, you know, we don't mind hiring those people, but you know, if you're coming up with the money, they won't change the script on you. They can't come to you and say, we don't understand this, so change it. This is, you know, the love story and this is not what we'd like. They can't tell you that if you have your own money. So we do look forward to that part of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems to me that, you know, if for our audience that's listening here and for the people who are going to find out about helping this film, That the best way of doing that is going to globalstageproject.com. That's globalstageproject.com, and going to the link that says Make It Happen at the top. And there's actually a place where you can sign up and say willing to consider helping with, you know, being part of this as far as, the campaign and everything. Like, it sounds like the best way of kind of helping out financially, right?
Yep, that's the best way. Yeah, and if they just want to go onto the page and check it out and just fill in their information, and we can email them when the campaign starts. It starts January 1st. We'll go for about 45 days, the first phase, and we can just send them an email when it starts. Or if they can't wait, they can just donate on our site for sure.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and just take a quick break real quick and come back, and we'll continue with some questions for both of you. I really appreciate you both being on today and talking about the Game of One film that's coming out next year. For people who are tuning in right now, you're actually listening to Mark Rawson on Spiritual Connections Radio. We're normally on Thursdays from 9:30 to 10:30, but we're actually doing a special show tonight on Saturday to promote a spiritual movie that's coming out. So if you want to find out more about our radio shows, or if you want to go back and listen to any replays, everything is available for replay about 15 minutes after the show is over. And you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, we have two guests with us this evening talking about the film. We have Maya, and we have Tamid. And we're basically talking about the Game of One. And if you want to find out more about this, you can go to their website, which is globalstageproject.com. So, Tamid, tell me about the team. I see, you know, when we talk about some of the creative industry part of this, I see first that you have a proposed director of Terry. I'm familiar with Terry's work. I think he basically did The Time Bandits and some other I think The Fisher King and some of those other movies. I think you also have another proposed executive producer, Shane. Is that Michael Shane?
Michelle Shane. He was
Shane. And Michelle Shane, I think, was really big in some of the Tom Hanks movies. I think she's done some Will Smith stuff with, like, I Am Robot and some other stuff. So you really are kind of lining up some great talent on this. And I also see that you have I think it's Paul that you're using, and he's done some amazing work in the industry. So talk about some of the aspects of that before we start getting into, you know, people like Maya who have the psychic background. I see you have Hillary who also has a very big ground in metaphysics, and you have a special astrologer, Jason, that you're using on this. So before we talk about the spiritual aspects, let's talk about some of the talent that you're looking to use. I mean, was it hard to go to people like Terry and Michelle and Paul and talk to them about designing something like this?
Well, Paul, let's start with the writer first. Paul is one of the greatest unknown writers in Hollywood. His imagination's a little out there. He's mostly a sci-fi writer. I've met him about 20 years ago. I actually took my first psychedelic journey with this writer. And just an imagination that we have to have, and I'll get onto the subject of Terry Gilliam in a second. But he understands these cards. He understands the subject of the tarot. He knows Maya really well. He's I've read a lot of scripts in Hollywood. I've been on and off, you know, raising money for a long time. I have not come across a person that I think could actually, you know, bend his mind as far out as we need, and I think he's qualified. So, you know, we've been in conversations over the past 6 months about this film, and he's terribly excited about doing it.
Let's go ahead and give everybody's full name. This is Paul Finelli, F-I-N-E-L-L-I.
That's it. Yep, Paul Finelli.
And then we're going to also talk about Terry Gilliam. It's G-I-L-L-I-A-M. And Michelle Shane, S-H-A-N-E.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam is, he's one director that, you know, is a huge fan of Philip K. Dick, and the connection is our writer is, you know, he's adapted a lot of Philip K. Dick stuff. So we're kind of merging those two things. Pardon me?
I was just kind of laughing. That's great.
Yeah, so we're merging those two guys together. The only thing about what is proposed right now, Terry Gilliam, we're going to probably approach him, but he has, because he gave up his citizenship here in the United States, and America will not allow him in here more than 30 days at a time. So it's not for sure, not unless we shoot it in London with him, that we can have him over here for the full amount of shooting time. So we'd like to have him. We'll see how it works out. He has an imagination that can stretch pretty far. You know, Fisher King, Baron Munchausen, so many fantasy-driven type films that he's done that we feel that he's qualified. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so that's amazing. Talk to me how Michelle Shane comes into this as proposed executive producer.
That was that's a kind of pretty cool little story. Last year I was raising money with a friend on a film, and we brought him in on the film, and he just became a friend. So, it's definitely upon his availability for him to come on, but he's available at any time if we need him. Yeah, I was raising the film and putting together one with an old producer partner last year, and Michelle was a part of that project. And he's available to work with us if the timing's right, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like she actually did something on the movie. I just saw come out the other day, which is Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can, yeah. He and another guy, they optioned that book, or I think it was a book, and it took them, I don't know, 15, 18 years to get the film made. And then they kind of sold it to Steven's company and did really well, yeah. It's a male. His name is Michelle, but it's a male.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's really good to know, and that's Michelle Shane. And
right.
I see just an incredible lineup, everything from working with DiCaprio or Leonardo and Tom Hanks and Will Smith and just an incredible lineup of some experience, including some work with Spielberg. So
yeah, no.
Let me go ahead and switch over to Maya. You know, Maya, talk to me about, you know, your tie-in with Hillary and how you're using her and how you're using Jason, your astrologer, as tie-ins as working on the film. I see Hillary is actually listed as a co-producer.
Well, the time working with the people will be doing the development of the script itself. So I need to give the script writer, Nelly, I need to give him enough information to work with. And now we're developing the spiritual development time that I'm going to use on Hillary and Jason and a couple of others. There will be more people that can bring from their own insight and knowledge, bring it to the table, so we can weave it all into those experiences. It's very important that each experience throughout the game will be exact and precise, because we're working with a language. We're working with, like, riddles that are mentally challenging. Astrology, we need everything has to do with numerology. We need all kind of essay. I'm going to look to a lot of other people and what they bring to the table that can complement the journey and the experience. So it's not just me, because I, as much as I know, I don't know everything. I know a lot about this tech, and I know where I'm going with it. But these people bring their own experience, and it's
yeah.
Very important to listen and to. And they're not only we're just starting with this. The list is going to be long. There will be meeting of spiritual people, you know, and they're going to sit together, and we're going to look at each and every aspect of the journey from many different angles. We're going to bring ancient knowledge to the table and confirm that this is what we're doing and this is how it's done. So it's not just making things up. I don't want to make things up. I want to use everything we have right now, and I believe that we do have a lot. That's the beauty about the spiritual work, the metaphysical work that has been done in the last 30 to 35 years. It's huge. It's a mountain. And the thing is
yeah,
to find the people. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just tell everybody a little bit about the co-producer, Hillary. Her last name is R-A-I-M-O. She has an incredible website. It's actually available through a link on the globalstageprojects.com website. It's actually, if you go to links, there's actually a link for her. I had a chance to go check out her website. Hillary is basically, for the people who are listening, is studying and researching metaphysics for over 25 years. She's a Reiki master, teacher, author, psychic, and actually has her own radio show. And it's just amazing. I guess I was looking at the picture up on her website where she has what looks like, I think it's a wolf, right, sitting next to her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other person that you're working with is Jason, last name Jeff, J-E-F-F-E-R-S. Jason is basically a spiritual teacher, master astrologer, and artist. And also looks like he's got a background in graphic design and is also a coach. So how is Jason tying into this? All right, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, when is, like, Hillary kind of giving input and when is Jason kind of giving input?
Well, Jason is – this is Tanita again, sorry about that. Jason's going to – this is going to be a little different. Even in the – I first originally approached Jason with astrology in mind. We're going to be doing, you know, reading astrology, numerology for the casting process in this film, even bringing on, you know, whoever's working in the background, whoever's working on the crew. We're going to try to, you know, make this film a chemistry type film where it's all meshing together. So we're going to bring Jason in. He may be helping with the design too down the road, but as far as, you know, reading the talent, you know, astrologically, numerically, we're going to try to, you know, bring together, you know, the energies that are actually going to be able to merge with ease on this project. So he's going to be, you know, working, you know, with our talent as far as, you know, giving us a true outlook on who we're bringing on the film, for sure. That's going to be his main participation, I think.
Excellent. You know, just going back to what we were talking about earlier about the call for music, I actually just had a question for both of you, and that is, we know that you guys are going to be looking for DJs and musicians and bands and everything to kind of, and I think the idea is really to have one band for each card, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Now, will that music be in the film or in the game or both?
Both. Film.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Film. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might use different DJs, different bands for the game itself, but when we choose for the film, you know, it will be in the film throughout the film for sure.
Uh-huh. That's amazing because, you know, normally you would go and do music in a different way. So it's just, it's incredible because it's kind of like, you know, normally with a film you'd have like a set number of assets or whatever you would use to kind of pull together. And it's like you guys are really reaching out to pull in energy from different types of people. So, you know, every band you bring in, you're going to pull in a certain type of energy. You're going to bring that energy into the film, which is incredible.
Exactly. Well, it's people for the people. So we have to speak with these. It's people for the people, so you have to give a stage that includes many ways, many styles, many people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. We all look at things, you know, we're all looking at the same things, but each sees something else, and especially you can see it through art and music. So many different styles. I mean, it's beautiful. It's mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Not to use all of it is a crime.
Since you're kind of talking about everything, Maya, you know, I want to actually turn a couple questions to you, and that is, you know, since you started to work on the IM1, and this has really become the baby that's really going through, you know, growing up and going through its different stages, and what do you think is the number one life lesson that you've been taught by just basically working on this, you know, from the beginning of the deck and the artist work all the way through where it's going?
Well, I think the number one thing that I've learned, and I'm still learning, I'm not going to say that I have mastered these teachings because it's not as easy as it seems, but there is one equation that seems the most difficult, yet it's the simplest equation out of all, and it's the equal pair of oppositions. It's the way our mind functions by way of comparison. We compare one thing to another by creating an opposition to each and every given idea. And it's just the way a mind works. And mind works just the same way as anybody else. And the learning experience is nonstop because it's happening each and every moment of my life, and I can only assume of each and everybody else. The equal pair of opposition is when you look at something and the only way you know something about it is by comparing it to something else. And the idea of the I'm one is to find the middle ground where these both opposing ideas, seemingly opposing ideas, find a place of agreement and not to fight each other. This is the most important thing. We always think that what we see or what we know is right. Our need to be right is huge, and it takes over the world in a way, and it takes over us. And to be able to at least stop and remember that there is no right and there is no wrong is probably the most important thing I've learned from this baby so far.
Wow, that's powerful. What do you think has been your biggest challenge in just basically, you know, making this into a film so far?
Well, the biggest challenge is to live with these images. Those are portals. They are like the energy is so intense. And having them always around me bring all aspects of life onto the table. And it's hard, even for one person, to deal with that much. There is time in my life that I just move away from everything and I need to be very quiet and alone and not to allow anything to come in because it's like putting life under the magnifying glass. It exaggerates everything. So it is the most difficult, the most challenging part is to live with this project for so many years. And delivery, you know, labor. Every woman who is listening will understand what I'm saying. You know, when you deliver a baby, okay, so you have a certain amount of hours, it's harsh and it's rough and it's difficult, and then it's over. This baby goes on for years. The labor part is just very long for a tiny little human being. And I just want to see it out there in the hands of the people, and let the world do what needs to be done. I think I'm almost, I want to be done with this work before I die. I want to know that I did my best. That's mm-hmm. really all there is to it. And then it's that that it's not about me giving it to another person. It's about me giving it to the world. And let the world, you know, make the decision now.
So, you know, we always like to learn a little bit about the people that we're interviewing and stuff. So tell me a little bit about your gifts. Were you always gifted as a child, or did you develop later in life?
Well, gifted is a nice word. I was cursed. I was cursed with a vision. I used to see things when I was very young, at the age of 4, 5, 6. I already spoke about events that only happened many years later. But I guess I didn't have a sense of time. For me, everything already happened. And I used to tell my parents and friends about things that happened to them or to the people that they are close to or their family members. And my family did not like that very much. They thought that there is something wrong with me because I'm saying things that don't look and don't sound right. Only years later, when all these events actually came to happen, I realized that I have a gift. But when I was young, it was not a gift. It was a curse. My own family was, they didn't like me very much. Nobody wanted to stay alone with me. For some reason, I didn't understand then that they really had a problem with what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I didn't see
yeah,
the
I
difference.
Could,
yeah.
I can
yeah,
definitely
later
understand
on,
that.
Yeah. Later on, when I realized what it is, you know, then I was like, oh, my God, you know, it's a blessing. It's not a curse. I'm good. I'm actually very good. But mm-hmm. it took many years to get there.
Yeah. So let me go ahead and switch over to you, Tamid. Tell me about what your challenge has been. You had mentioned earlier that you have a lot of experience kind of raising money for films in Hollywood, and you know, you've worked on a number of different projects. What do you notice that's different about this project as far as the energy or just kind of like how it's all coming together? I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you at all. Can you kind of step into the speakerphone?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, yeah, there are two sides of it. You know, we're sending this out, you know, specifically to this genre, and there are ones that see it, and they are just so happy that we're doing it and so thrilled that we're doing it. But then there are ones that I think I kind of even maybe had to talk you into it because we're doing it so differently and there's no trailer to show anybody. There's no parts of the movie made already. So some of the talk shows are seeing us do it kind of backwards here, and it's kind of it's taken me a little bit of extra work to kind of just tell them, hey, we're doing this a little differently. We're including the public in on this one, and then after they see that angle of it, they're kind of thrilled. You after we talked a little bit, you kind of said, oh yeah, this is something I think we can get on air with. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's in most cases, let's say 75% have been just so, maybe even a little more, been so welcoming and easy, and it's magnetizing a lot of great people to it. But there is a challenge of doing something backwards. You know, there's a challenge of starting a groundswell from zero to, you know, multiple eyeballs on your project. So it's really every day I wake up at, you know, 6 o'clock, and we do it up until 6 o'clock at night, just setting everything up. And now we have this just massively experienced social media person that is going to just envelop and develop relationships with a lot of different social media outlets. So by the time this thing opens, I think that it will be on the tongue of a lot of people. And I think that this is, in the film business, when you do stuff like this, they call it guerrilla production. You know, this is, it feels like that, but it's very, very welcoming in most cases out there. People are really, we've had so many emails from people saying, wow, finally someone's doing a film like this at this level. So overall, it's just been, you know, the challenge is just staying on it daily because you have to stay encouraged daily trying to, you know, create something out of nothing. So that's the daily challenge. But I would rather, you know, I'd rather be doing this than anything. So it makes it a lot easier.
Oh, that's great. I think we're almost ready to wrap up the show, so I'm actually going to switch gears back to Maya in closing and just ask you to kind of, for people who tuned in and haven't quite caught up with what exactly is the movie about, they can go to the website, which I'll give out right now, which is globalstageprojects.com. So they can definitely go up there and read all the details. But if you could just really high level for everybody in a minute or two, what is some of the things that people are going to take away from this film?
Well, this film is about the transition. It's about demonstrating a path and a road of action of how to achieve certain knowledge and readiness in order to make the change. The future that we create and not the future that is being created for us. It's about using the computers for our advantage, but not letting the computer define and depict our future. Those are this is the time, you know, that a lot of us know that is very important. A lot of us reincarnate back into specifically this time for a very specific reason, and I believe that this is the reason. This is just the last call before we're moving into the future. And that's what this movie is all about. It's about tarot that are developed in a way that entice the mind in new ways. It's almost demonstrating a new way of thinking, a new way of looking at things, and resolving arguments that are still hanging in the balance. This is the movie by the people, for the people. And that's all there is to it. If we want it, we'll do it. if we don't want it, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. It's what we want, not just me or Tamid. It's what the people mm-hmm. want. And I believe, you know, there's a lot of us out there, especially the ones that prepare for so long.
Excellent. Tamid, just tell everybody real quick, if they go to the website, they can find out more about if they wanted to, because you are calling for DJs, musicians, and bands, but also how people can find out about that, but also find out about how they can help put some funding into this to make it happen.
Definitely. Yeah, so there's two ways they can go about it. They can go online there and sign up for, a reminder of when the campaign starts. And or they can just say, hey, we want to support you now, which is great. And if you're a music person and you're hearing this and you are interested in, letting us hear your music and for possible participation in the film, you can send it now. I don't recommend it. I would recommend waiting for the second phase to start. But you can always drop us a line with a little note and just say, hey, I'm interested. Send me a reminder when the second phase starts about my music, and they can do that also. So, yeah, however they want to reach out as they go over the site, that'd be great. Thanks.
All right, that sounds good. I really appreciate having both of you on and learning more about your project and everything. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be great, and I know I'll be looking forward to seeing it in theaters in 2014. And thanks a lot for both of you being on.
Thank you very much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right, everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and we were just interviewing the two people who are basically really putting their energy out there to get this film launched for next year, which is called The Game of One. You can go to their website at globalstageprojects.com to find out more about that. You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. Have a great night, everybody.
Life is but a dream.